Well, good morning. Welcome this morning, wherever you find yourself. My name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here at Ridge Baptist. If you're new with us, we just want to welcome you as you join us today. Just before we begin, I want to say to those of you who are parents, if you've got kids, young children between the ages 3 to 9, somewhere in that range, we've got some great content for your kids. And this is the moment where you can just step out and set your kids up on that. Just the kind of thing that will keep them occupied and learning about Jesus over the next 35 to 40 minutes. And it will also allow you then to pay full attention to the conversation that we're having here this morning. If you don't know where to find that, you can find that on the front page of our website. Get all those details there. Well, this morning we're going to carry on in our series called Church. And if you were with us last week, you know that we defined what church is according to the New Testament. Church is not a building, it's not a program, it's not an event or a meeting. The church is a community. In fact, the church is a community of people established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built by God to accomplish the mission of God. That's what it means to be the church. Now, this morning I want to begin by telling you the story about another church that's very similar circumstances to the kind of circumstances that we found ourselves in or that we find ourselves in these days. This other church is a good church. They're not perfect. They have some issues. They had one of their ministries kind of blow up for them, and they had a lot of questions around that, had to have a big meeting to sort of sort that out. And they had some problems with their giving. They ended up with a controversy around that that kind of left a few people on edge. But for the most part, it's such a good church. I mean, people were coming to faith in Jesus. People were growing in what it meant to follow after him. The church was caring for one another. And God is doing these amazing things within the church. And best of all, a lot of people were giving their life to follow Jesus. And then, not unlike what happened for us in COVID, it all came kind of to a screeching halt in a matter of a week or two. And you can imagine the kind of disappointment that they would have felt. Not unlike the kind of disappointment we felt. I mean, things were getting going, momentum was happening, lives were being changed, and all of a sudden, it just kind of came to a sudden stop. And you can imagine people saying, God, why? Why would this happen now? Why would you allow this to happen? Not unlike what's happened for us. Now, the difference between that church and our church is that we kind of ground to a halt, at least in some ways, because of a pandemic. And they ground to a halt, not because of a pandemic, but because of a persecution. It all began with the persecution of one of their key leaders, a man named Stephen. He was arrested and he was executed. And the day that he was executed is like the floodgates opened up, and it was open season on Christians. Now, the church I'm talking about is the early church, the first church, and Luke tells us in the book of Acts what it is that happened on the day that Stephen was executed. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "And Saul approved his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So the early church, the church in Jerusalem, was getting going. I mean, it was just taking off. Things were going so well. People were coming to faith. God was doing amazing things. And then all of a sudden, with very little warning, it all came screeching to a halt, and the church scattered. The church ended up all over the place. And it would have been hard because they were just getting going. And the question is this, why? God, why would you allow this very thing to happen, to take place? And yet God did allow it to happen. And here's why. Here's what happened when the persecution came to the church. The church scattered. And in fact, this is the case. This is the church is meant to scatter. It's the first point we want to talk about. If you remember just before Jesus' ascension into heaven, he said to his disciples, "You will be my disciples in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." And yet here they were weeks, in fact months later, and the church was still just in Jerusalem. But they were in Jerusalem because Jerusalem was where it was exciting, it was comfortable, it was easy. Judea was harder. And Samaria, I mean, no one wanted to go to Samaria because Samaria was a place where the Jews looked down on those people. They thought they were better than them, more special, more called, more holy. And no one thought that God would do anything or much among the Samaritan people. And so they hadn't gone out. And so God allowed this persecution to come to the church because he wanted them to scatter. He wanted them to go and be his witnesses in all kinds of places that they would have never gone if they had been so comfortable in Jerusalem. And so you know what happened when God scattered the church? Here's what happened. Luke tells us in the next verse, in verse 4, he says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." And if you notice, it wasn't the apostles, it was the whole church. When they were scattered, they went out and they began to share the gospel everywhere they went. And God honored them as they did that. And the most amazing thing happened. In the place where they thought least likely that the gospel would go forward, in Samaria of all places, a revival broke out. And all kinds of people began to come to faith in Jesus. And God began to do miracles there. And one of their biggest sort of spiritual leaders gave his life to follow Jesus. And it was amazing. And one of the guys, a guy named Philip, God said to him, "Look, I want you to find that chariot that's coming by you. I want you to go run alongside it. And I want to ask you to ask that man if he understands what he's reading." And so that's what Philip does. He goes, he runs alongside the chariot. The man in the chariot happens to be one of the high officials in the Ethiopian government. And Philip does what God asks him to. He asks him, and the man says, "I can't understand what I'm reading." And it turns out he's reading the Bible. And you know the story if you've read through Acts. He gets in the chariot. He explains what the Bible says. And the man gives his life to follow Jesus. Now imagine that. Imagine that you're talking with your friend or your coworker or your neighbor, and the conversation begins to go towards spiritual things. And rather than kind of steering it back to safe ground, rather you let it go there. In fact, you jump in and you begin to talk about spiritual things. Nothing like fancy, just about life and God and what he's done for you. And imagine that as you do that, God opens up a door. And you begin to share with them in ways that you haven't before. And they respond. And imagine that God uses that to share the gospel and to change people's lives. It happens. In fact, it happened this week in our church. This week, one of the people in our church started that kind of a conversation. And it just went to one place to the next. And that person ended up giving their life to Jesus. Those kinds of things happen. Philip did that with this Ethiopian official. He was just faithful. And through that, the gospel went to Africa. And in fact, I've talked to people. I've said to them, "Listen, how did you come to faith in Jesus?" And they said, "Well, actually, my grandfather grew up in a family. Generations before that, nobody knew about Jesus. And somebody shared their faith with him. And he gave his life to Jesus. And out of that has rippled throughout our family. And now I've got uncles and cousins and my brother. And we've all known Jesus. And all came because somebody shared their faith with my grandfather." You know, you have no idea when you share the kind of ripple effect that will have possibly upon generations of people who come afterwards. You see, this is what's supposed to happen when the church scatters. They're supposed to go and preach the gospel. Now, if you say, "Well, you know, preach, I don't preach." That's okay. You don't have to preach the gospel. Just share. If sharing sounds hard, just gossip the gospel. Just kind of little tidbits here and there and nothing fancy. But make sure that you begin to share the good news, the hope that you have in Jesus. And you don't know the effect it's going to have. And it's going to take courage. You're going to have to be bold. Do that, and who knows what God might do, what he will do as we're faithful to do that very thing. The fact that we've been scattered, the fact that COVID has come into our world and kind of forced us out into all these different places, that's not by accident. That's part of God's design. It was his design in the early church, and today for us in our church, it's part of his design. And so the question is this: where in your world do you need to find those opportunities? Where in your world is those places where you need to share, where you need to just turn the conversation towards spiritual things? Where is it that you need to be bold and courageous and just see what God does in your life and through you? The church is meant to scatter. It's the first thing. But there's a second piece we want to talk about, and that's this. The church is also meant to gather. You know, it's always gathered, whether it's been in the great cathedrals of Europe where, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people have gathered, or whether it's in tiny house churches, underground churches throughout Asia. Churches have gathered in places like under trees in Latin America. You see people travel from great distances. They gather under these huge shaded trees to worship and to hear the gospel. It happens in little tiny apartments in places like Latvia and Lithuania where they meet in these little places, and yet they gather and they sing and they lift their heart to God. In fact, a number of years ago, I was in Egypt, and there we had a day, and we went and we saw this church that gathers in a garbage dump. You can imagine in the city of Cairo, it's a city of 10 million. Nobody does recycling there the way we do, and so the garbage dump in Cairo is massive. In fact, it was so huge that a whole city of the poorest, the most destitute people developed in the midst of the garbage dump, and they would pick out, recycle things, and sell and get what little money they could so that they could make a living. And this man, he was compelled by Jesus to go into the garbage dump and to begin to share the message of the hope of Jesus Christ. And hundreds of people came to faith in Jesus. And what they did is they built a church. In fact, I went to see it. They carved an amphitheater into the side of this massive cliff where the garbage dump was that seats about 2,000, maybe 3,000 people. And they gather there every Sunday to lift their voices, to worship God, and to hear His word. The church throughout history and around the world has always gathered, whether it's in cathedrals or garbage dumps, because that's the way God designed it to be. Now, the question these days is this. If I could just wake up in the morning and roll out of bed in my pajamas and just watch church online, why would I ever stop doing that? And I get that. I know how easy that is. I mean, you just get up, you brush your teeth, you kind of fix your hair a little bit, you stumble downstairs and get your coffee, turn on the computer. It's easy. And in fact, when it gets easy like that, it sometimes gets hard for us to go out, hard for us to get back connected with other people. And this has been happening to me. I don't know if it's happening to you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife said, hey, friends of ours have invited us to come over to celebrate the baptism of their son. There's another church, his son got baptized. I said to my wife, I said, okay, let's go. I don't really want to. Not because they're not great friends. We love getting together. But just because I kind of getting accustomed to not going out. And it's a little bit like working out. You know, when you haven't worked out for a while, to get going again, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But of course, once you start, it feels good. And it was the same with getting together. We got in the car, we went there, we came around the corner into the back, everything is outside, and there right away was this group of friends, and they're smiling, and they're talking, and right away, I mean, we just got talking and laughing, and we swapped stories, and we ate food, and it was so good for my soul. But it was a little bit like exercising. I kind of had to push myself a little bit to get going, and then once I got going, it felt so, so good. See, here's why it's important that we begin to gather again together as believers. We gather together because of love. The writer of Hebrews, he puts it this way. He says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and to good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer says of Hebrews says that we're not to give up meeting together because it spurs us on to love. Now, what kind of love is he talking about? Well, I think there's two kinds. First of all, love of God. You know, it's easy for our love for God to begin to grow cold when we don't get together regularly with others. You know how it is. We get busy, and it's 3 days or maybe a week, and we haven't spent time doing our devotions, and we haven't sort of thought about how it is that we ought to live. And if we're not careful, a week becomes 3 weeks, becomes a month, and our love for God just begins to grow cool and to grow cold because there's so many distractions. And because there isn't those people that we're gathering together to spur us on in our love for God. So one of the reasons why we gather is to spur our love for God. But then it's also when we're in community with others, when we are involved in intentional, genuine relationships with a few other followers of Jesus, it's when we do that that we find love from others and give love to others. And that's a surprisingly rare commodity in these days. It's amazing how many people live these lives. It looks like everything is put together and it's so wonderful, but they don't have people in their world that genuinely love them. Now, we're talking love in community. We're not talking like, you know, this mushy kind of sentimental love. We're not like, oh, love is so great. Rather, what we're talking about is the kind of love that accepts you even though you're a mess, even though I'm a mess. It's the kind of love that welcomes us even though we've got quirks and differences and not got it all together. It's the kind of love that cares for us because we're important in those people's lives and they're important in ours. It's the kind of love that challenges us to grow and confronts us when we are heading towards the cliff. It's the kind of love that spurs us on to live for Jesus because living for Jesus is the best kind of life that you can possibly live. The kind of love the community calls us to is the kind of love that the Bible talks about when it talks about one another's. All throughout the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, there are these places where we're called to, you know, honor one another or encourage one another or, bear one another's burdens or to serve one another. And the list goes on and on. 40 different places where we're called to one another. The problem is, it's hard to one another if we're not connected to one another. And if you don't have those kind of connections, then everything that the Bible says about one another is just nice sentiments. It's the kind of things that sound good on an Instagram post, but don't really mean anything otherwise. The kind of love that the writer of Hebrews talks about here is the kind of love that leads to action. It leads to what the writer calls good deeds. And that's the kind of love that cares for people when they're housebound and goes out and buys them groceries. That's the kind of love that, you know, causes people to bring food by when others are going through hard times. Just drop off a meal and just listen for a few minutes and tell them that they're praying for them. That's the kind of love that listens to people pour their hearts out when they're broken and they don't understand why God would allow something like this to happen in their life, and they pray for them. That's the kind of love that challenges people to grow. That's the kind of love that calls people back to follow Jesus when they're drifting. And in fact, these days, some of you are beginning to drift. I mean, for some of you, this online church is just so hard, and I get that. I mean, watching a sermon online, trying to sing or worship along with the TV is like just not the easiest thing. And it's not like you're not committed. It's just hard. And it gets harder to sort of stay connected. And for others of you, this online church is the opposite. It's too easy. There's just no accountability. There's no one saying, hey, we need to be together. We need to be connected. And it's easy to check out. And not just on Sunday mornings, but it's easy to begin to kind of check out of the whole following Jesus thing and to begin to drift. And again, not on purpose, not like you set your mind to that. It just kind of happens by default. And none of us set out to do that, I mean, you know, because we just decided not to. It's partly because of COVID. I mean, one of the things that we chose to do, and rightfully so, was to be apart during this time as a way to care for and to love our city. And we've said this whole time that we're in this together, meaning that we're actually apart. But now it's time for us to gather. Now it's time for us to look to see how we can be in community together again. And in fact, it's happening all over our province. Our province is opening up these days. If you go, you know it. I mean, restaurants are opening up, non-essential stores, malls, parks. I heard just the other day that even Playland is planning to be open this summer. And they're opening up slowly and carefully, as they should. But it also means that it's time for us to begin to gather again, together again, slowly and carefully. Because, of course, the church was meant to gather. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going back to doing church the way that we did it before COVID. But it does mean that we need to begin to find ways to be in community with one another. And so I want to ask you, I want to encourage you to think, who is it that you can be in community with? Because, see, community is a high value that we have. Community is so important for us that we say, you know, engaging community is one of our key values. So, here's the question. We want you to think how to create sort of pockets where the scattered church of Maple Ridge can be in community. Here, there, wherever you are, in Maple Ridge, Pitt Meadows, Wanick, and beyond, wherever it is, we want to be a church that is engaged in community. So let me suggest several different options, several different places where you can be engaged in community. One of the places to consider creating community is in your home. It would mean inviting two or four or maybe six people or maybe just one other family to come and to meet with you and to begin to gather together to see the services or to watch the services on Sunday mornings. And it would be a simple thing. It's not a lot of preparation, not a lot of planning. Just invite people, say, come at 9:30 and stay till 11:30. And you know, afterwards, we're going to pray together for a few moments and just, you know, check in and then go. Or maybe not. Maybe say, and then we're going to have brunch together. We're just going to celebrate together. And we want to encourage you, just try it for the summer. We understand. I mean, this summer, you know, you're going to be gone some weekends and others are going to be gone some weekends. And that's okay. Just one of these things that we sort of do whenever we can throughout the course of the summer. Newell and I, we tried this a couple weeks ago just to see how that was. And it was great. We invited another family over and we, you know, the only awkward moment that we had was when it came time to sing. Like, are we singing or are we not? And turns out some sang and they sang like wholeheartedly and others didn't and it was fine. But it was a great morning and we prayed afterwards and it was just really rich. And so I want you to consider who might you invite? Who in your world would you say, yeah, we could do that with them? I mean, who is it that right now you should text and you say, hey, let's try this. Let's just see if this thing works and invite them to come over and spend the you know, some Sundays watching the service together. And if you are saying, well, I'd like to do that, but I don't know who, then why don't you go to our website? And there's a place where you can sign up, and we'll see if we can't match you up with some others who are saying, yeah, we'd love to host, but we don't know. And to those of you who are saying that very thing, like, we'd love to host, but we're not quite sure who, or we'd be glad to welcome some people who aren't connected or that we haven't met before, we'd be glad to try that for a couple of weeks through the summer and see how that goes. Would you also go to our website and we'll be glad to make that happen. And then for some of you, you should actually say, rather than inviting someone from the church, we know someone who isn't connected to church, but they'd love to come over on a Sunday morning. We'll laugh and talk and watch the service together and it'd be a good on-ramp for those people as well. So, that, of course, means that we're going to continue to do online service. We're going to continue to do it as well as we can, and we're just going along that way. So keep tuning in as we do online service. So that's one of the first options for you, but there's a couple of other ways as well. You know, some of our community groups are planning to meet together this summer on a back deck or a backyard on a Sunday morning to watch the service together. And maybe your community group wants to do that. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe you can just do it a couple of times, but it might be something for you guys to consider as well. Then another option that we're working at is Pastor Dan, who does our youth ministry, is planning to set up some watch parties for our youth so that they can gather together and just enjoy being together on a Sunday morning as they watch the service. And so if you're a youth or a parent of youth, watch for some information coming out around that kind of thing as well. And then And then we're also planning to begin having services here in the building again. And the government has said that we are welcome to have services up to 50 people in one space at a time. And so we are going to begin to do that. And here is, you know, if you've been in our auditorium, we have plenty of space for that. The lower part of the auditorium seats close to 600 people. So to make space for 50 people here is no problem at all. And so we're really excited that we're going to begin to have services here beginning next week, July 5th. And it's going to be an opportunity for us to gather again, 10 a.m., and to worship together. Now, we have a limit of 50 people who can come at a time, so you'll need to register. And the place to do that is to register online, or you can also text the word Sunday to this number, 778-716-6722, because, of course, we need you to register. But when you come, I mean, we'll have all of the necessary safety protocols. You'll need to sign in and use hand sanitizer. And we have spaced out places where you sit in the sanctuary so that you are socially distanced from everyone who comes. And wearing masks is going to be something that is optional. It's not required. Now, if you want to wear masks, you're very welcome to do that. And if you're like, well, I'd like to come, but I want to sit, you know, in an area where people are wearing masks, we're glad to arrange that. We have so much space. We'll gladly do that. But if you aren't going to wear a mask, you're welcome as well. And again, there's just so much space when you put 50 people in this auditorium that there's no problem for you to come and to worship together, to be part of the service, even with if you're not wearing masks. So again, everything that we're going to do is in line with the protocol set out by the government. Now, one other thing I need to let you know, and that's this. At this point, we're not able to have children come. We're not able to do children's ministry, and that's in part because that requires a certain ratio of volunteers to children and some of the other, you know, challenges that come with having young children all together. So we're working on that, but we're not there yet. But we want to get it right before you bring your children because it's so important to us that they're safe. So if your children aren't able to sit with you through the service, then at this point, we just encourage you stay at home, find some of those other places of community. But we're working to make that happen. On the other hand, if you're able to, we'd love to have you come. We'd love to begin to worship together here again. When you're comfortable, as long as you're comfortable, but we are going to begin to do that. And when you do, why not consider inviting some other people that you love to go to church with? Invite your community group or your friends or the people that you regularly love to see and say, let's go together on this date and we'll say hi, socially distanced, and then we'll worship together and we'll be together in God's presence, and it will be a beautiful thing to do. So this is where we're going as a church next. We want to encourage you. We want to be together in community. All right, I have one more point that I want to talk about, and it's an important point, so please stay with me, and then it won't be long, and we'll be done. Here's the last point that I want to talk about for us as a church in this season, and that's this. The church is meant to be a community of grace. Now, you have to know that when it came to reopening the church building, when we talk about being together again here, we've talked long and hard about this as a staff. And we understand that within our church, within every church, in fact, within our culture, there is a whole variety of opinions on how quick and how much and how fast, you know, we should be opening up. And within our own church, we know there are some who would say, you know, we should just do the absolute essential things, and we should self-quarantine as much as we can until there's a vaccine. And we know that also at the same time, there are others who feel that the government has actually required us to do more than is reasonable given the place that we're at. And there are a whole variety of opinions in between. And you know, this is the kind of thing that could cause a lot of division within a church. You know, there is a danger that those who are on this side of the spectrum who say, you know, we shouldn't be gathering until there's a vaccine, that they would judge those who are on this side who say, you know, we think that plenty is done and it's good to get together. And there's a danger that those who are on this side who say it's fine to get together could look with contempt and judge those who are saying, no, no, we better stay at home. And you know, a church that doesn't understand that they are to be a community of grace, a church that doesn't embrace that concept, can blow themselves up over this kind of an issue. The church has always had these kinds of issues all throughout history, going back to the days of the Apostle Paul. In fact, all the way back in that day, the debate was between the Jewish crowd who said there's certain foods that we should eat and certain that we shouldn't, and the Gentiles said we're good to eat everything. And so the Apostle Paul, at one point, he writes to the church in Rome, and this is what he says. He says, "Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables." You know, what one person says, hey, I feel like it's fine for us to gather together again as a church. And the other says, I don't think it's good or wise for us to do yet. It's a disputable matter. And the Apostle Paul says, don't quarrel over those kinds of things. And then he goes on to say this. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Paul says, on these issues, each person answers before God. God is their master. They serve God. So he says, they will answer to God. And he says, each group, wherever you are on that spectrum, will answer to God. And God will make them stand. In other words, God is good with whatever choice you make in this regard. So, the thing that Paul says, the thing that we want to say is that you shouldn't judge. And as you, if you want, you can go back and read this whole chapter, Romans chapter 14, and it'll explain a lot more. But near the end, he says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." And he says a few verses later, "So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God." You know, as we move forward in this next phase of sort of opening up the church and meeting together, let's make sure that we are a place filled with grace. In fact, someone said to me a week or two ago, they said we should be a church of grace and space. I like that. That's great. Grace and space as we go forward. So that means that if you invite somebody to, you know, join you in community in your home and they turn you down, don't be offended. I mean, you don't know their health issues. You don't know their previous experiences. You don't know the opinion that their spouse has or who else they're protecting in their world. Don't feel bad. Say, hey, no problem. Let me know if it ever changes. And you just bless them. And by the same token, if somebody invites you to join them in their home or invites you to come to church with them, but you're not comfortable with that, don't judge them. Don't look at them with contempt. You just bless them. You say, oh, we're not comfortable yet, but you go and bless you as you go. Because the church is meant to be a community of grace. And by the way, thank you for the grace that you've shown us as a staff during this season. You know, we've been learning as fast as we can. We've been pivoting as quickly as we can. And sometimes we've nailed it. You know, we have such a great staff here. And God's been so good to us around that. But sometimes we've missed. And sometimes we have to keep learning and adjusting as we go. And thank you for being so kind and so gracious as we continue to learn and as we continue to grow. Listen, here's what the church is. The church is a community of people. A community of people established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built by God to accomplish the mission of God. That's what the church is. That's the kind of church that we want to be. And again, we're not perfect. We got a long ways to go. But as we go, as we follow Jesus, we want to do it together in community, the way God intended it to be. And we want to do everything for the glory of Jesus because it's all about Him. It's all for Him and by Him and through Him. And in the end, as we do that, He will get all of the glory. So, let's be the church. Would you Would you join me? Let's pray together, and then we're going to close in a song of worship. Then I'll come back and say a few more words. Let's pray. God, thank you that in your wisdom, you called us to be in community. God, because there is such good things that come out of that, even though sometimes it's challenging. And so, Father, I pray for each of us today, Lord, that we would find that place of community, that place where we're comfortable, where we feel safe, but, Father, where we're walking together with one another so that we can fall in love, more in love with you, and where we can love one another the way that you have called us to live. So, God, even today, even this morning, Father, may you bring to our minds those people that we should connect with, those people we should text or call or invite, Father, to see your kingdom go forward. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to do among us as we do these very things. And so we give ourselves to you again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.